from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Chris Getz has been the man in the news in front of a lot of cameras and microphones lately. He was on a phone this morning on with Mully and Haw. The White Sox GM was asked right out of the gate about the timing of firing manager Pedro Grifol.
Changes like this, I mean, you're never certain. There's no perfect time. You could argue that it should have been done at this point or this point or this point. We just felt like yesterday was the right time to do this. There are a myriad of factors that go into a decision like this. But yesterday was the day. We've got Grady Sizemore that's going to be the interim manager, and we're bringing up, some other support staff and coaches from our minor league system that are familiar with not only myself, but the players that we have on this roster. So I feel like we've got a really good team of people to get this season to the finish line in a positive fashion. There's still opportunity for us to make strides, whether it be individually, as a team, as an organization, and I look forward to getting that started today with this fresh group.
Were you waiting for the losing streak to end? Was that a factor?
I think we were all waiting for that to end.
To make a move.
How related that was to making the managerial change. It just came to a point where, the off day that morning, going to call Pedro and others on the staff and, bring in some new voices in which we've done so. But it was a painful streak. Anyone that was in that clubhouse watching it, whether you're a fan, an employee, whomever, it was very, very difficult. Now, does that go into the change? Ultimately, it's certainly a factor. I look back at where we went into the All-Star break and came out of the All-Star break, in hopes that we were going to be refreshed and play better baseball, finish some games where we would be leading games and couldn't get us to the finish line or looking for opportunities to come back late. And we just never were able to get to that point. So, we made the change.
Can you help us, Chris, to understand kind of the hierarchy of the team? What exactly is Tony La Russa's role? How often do you talk to him? And how influential is Tony in your decisions? Is he kind of the de facto Kenny at this point?
No. Tony and I have a very trusting relationship and very much embodies the advisory title that he has. His experiences are wide ranging in various roles, You know, sometimes I call him and ask him a question, and you know, perhaps I apply it immediately, or perhaps wait for a different time, or I just throw it away and move on. So, you know, he's a guy that I think is a positive influence, has been, but in regards to a hierarchy, it's, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I'm the final authority on these decisions. I take in different opinions along the way because that's the type of leader I am. I know I don't have all the answers. So, you know, you got to filter through some of the information that's coming in, and I lean on people within our front office, Josh Barfield, Jin Wong, Matt Koenig, a long list of individuals that are very bright and experienced, you know, that helps to the decision-making. But Tony is an ally, he's a friend, but beyond that of that Tony is making calls as, you know, final say is not accurate. At the end of the day, it's me, and you know, I've got to make the decision on what's in the best interest of the Chicago White Sox.
And as you begin this search, I imagine it's going to be exhaustive and all-encompassing, which I found interesting yesterday, that you seem to eliminate candidates who are not in a major league uniform right now. There are guys with experience, notably Joe Girardi, or a guy like there are candidates out there, Terry Francona, who aren't active right now that might be guys you want to talk to. Also, it would seem to eliminate popular candidates like Ozzie Guillen and AJ Pierzynski. Why did you take the step of eliminating the kind of guys who aren't necessarily in a major league uniform right now from being possible candidates for the job?
Well, you know, it's still an evolving list, but there certainly is some truth to the pool of candidates we're going to be targeting, and there's certainly truth to people that are we're going to be targeting people that are in uniform and in organizations other than the White Sox. And I realize that there are a lot of bright people that aren't currently with other organizations or in uniform that are, you know, managers that perhaps just out of the game for a year or two. And then you've got, you know, the popular names like you listed. But, you know, this is a criteria that we've put together, and we're going to start there. I've got a tremendous amount of respect with the people that you just named. And I mean, I look at Ozzie, and I've known Ozzie a long time, and I consider him a close friend. He brought me up to the big leagues. He fought for me. And I'll never forget that. And I really enjoyed playing for him. I really care and love the guy. And I know he has been extremely supportive along the way. But I still need to focus on what's best for the White Sox. As it stands today, we're going to target, a list of people that fit the criteria that I believe are best for the Chicago White Sox moving forward.
Chris, is this your hire? In other words, are you picking the guy, searching for the guy? Is it you and no one else making this decision?
Yes, yeah, it's my decision. I can't wait to get to down to work today. We're beginning to get organized with these candidates and get that process started. I think it's just a big day, a big portion of this season now is going to be in preparation for this exhaustive search and getting this team to the finish line to find, moments here for our young players to continue to get better and prepare for the following season. So we have a lot on our plate, but I'm really excited to get rolling.
You work in a city, and your opponent tonight, where the Cubs hired Craig Counsell and paid him more than any other manager in baseball, reportedly $8 million a year. The White Sox reportedly are at the other end of the spectrum. How much are the White Sox willing to spend to get the right manager, or is this organization not at the point yet where they can afford to hire that kind of manager for this kind of team?
Well, obviously the Craig Counsell situation with the Cubs is very much a unique one. Craig's obviously very talented, and I know that they're excited to have him over there. When it comes to the White Sox, it's going to start with what's the best fit for us. We start there. And those conversations evolve into the more of the mechanics of a contract or anything like that. I'm going in with a blank slate, looking for the best candidates, you try to work out a deal to bring that person into the Chicago White Sox. But to go into detail in terms of contract length or the amount of money that you're going to spend on an annual basis for that. Gosh, I'm just focused on the pool of candidates and you know, getting down to business and finding the right fit for us.
I'm curious, Chris, how do you sell this job to someone? Do you have to? Just because, you know, we're sitting here talking about you rebuilding a team from the studs up. You could argue that you haven't gotten there yet, that the teardown's still on. You got to figure out whether you're going to trade Garrett Crochet. You were shopping him. What do you get in return? Is Luis Robert part of the long-term future? Are you still tearing down here, and how do you sell that to someone?
Well, I you know, the vision that we have here, and this goes back to when I was named in the fall last year and talking to employees that were outside of the organization and recruiting them to come in, and, you know, they needed to understand what the process was going to be and what was, you know, what it eventually was going to look like. They had to have a belief in myself and others that remained in the organization. And we were able to bring in some, you know, Brian Bannister, who's one of the sharper pitching minds in this game. And I brought in Josh Barfield, who was a successful farm director, you know, with the Diamondbacks and others that have come in and help us lead the way. Now, this wasn't about, you know, 2024. It wasn't. It was about building something sustainable for the future. And the process that goes into doing that, you know, it's deep-rooted. It really does start from the bottom, and it's going to take time to build up. But there are a lot of competitive, bright people that understand that and have watched and felt, you know, this type of process be applied and worked in other organizations. So when people look back at their careers, they feel proud to be part of something like this. This is not something that was, you know, just handed to me and all of a sudden we were going to make a World Series run. That's not the case, and that rarely is in our game. If anything, you know, you continue to bring in the best talent that you can to help you in the front office, and obviously when it comes to coaches and scouts and analytic minds to help bring this all together. And as we build this, and eventually we'll get it to where it needs to be, there'll be nothing more rewarding. So, you know, that's the basis of this. It's going to take time. I'm looking for people that are willing to and eager to take on this challenge. And I am convinced that there are people that are going to want to be a part of this.
It's a massive challenge, Chris, because of the role and the job, but also because right now I think the fan base is as skeptical and as negative as they ever have been because of all the losing. And I wonder, this is your search. It's going to be your hire. But obviously you work for Jerry Reinsdorf. We have a lot of questions about what he thinks about what's going on. We don't hear from Jerry Reinsdorf very often. Can you help us understand or relay, how is he viewing this season? And is he aware of just how bad things have gotten? Because I think that there's a sense that he's not responding to what's going on, and the less we hear from him, the more we wonder.
Well, I mean, the change was made last fall because of the state of things with Chicago White Sox, and you know, he definitely understands the challenges that we were going to face, you know, he's been very supportive along the way, and he understands the different phases of rebuilds. So. But we also understand the skepticism of our fan base and people that are watching, and those are not going to quiet until we get more wins in the win column. And I mean, that's just the reality of professional sports. It's certainly the reality of Major League Baseball. With that being said, you know, I look back at how our draft went and bringing in Hagen Smith and our farm system that's rising towards the top, and we'll continue to likely add to that. You know, you look at some of the assets that we have on our major league club, some of these players and the attractiveness and the, you know, that to perhaps, you know, improve our major league club through future trades. But there is this a process that we have in place that makes sense to Jerry Reinsdorf, myself in the front office. And there will be a time that we'll feel, you know, the fruits of the labor at the major league level. We hope it's sooner rather than later, but there will be no shortcuts. But when we get it there, it's going to be very special for a lot of people.
It's great to hear that. I think that the problem that people are stuck on, and you know, I'm not saying that you're doing irrevocable damage to your reputation because you're losing, or anybody, Jerry, whatever, but you're probably going to set a record for the worst season ever. And if you look at what's going on here, over 100 losses now, maybe the worst record ever. Is next year 100 losses? Or the year after that? When? What's your timetable on all that? I mean, I love the idea of building up the team and everybody going to be good and we're all going to enjoy the fruits of that labor for years to come. It's just, I got older family members and friends who feel like they're going to die before it happens.
Well, you know, like I said, this is not something that can be just turned around overnight. Do any of us want to be associated to our current record and potential record by the end of the season? Of course not. We traded Dylan Cease, a week or two before the season started. We made moves at the trade deadline. You know, the focus here has been the long-term health of the organization and not just chasing wins for the 2024 season. Obviously, we want to win as many games as we can. We're all competitors. We feel like, when you create a winning environment, that is healthy for everyone involved. But with that being said, we know where we're at. We continue to show up each day and talking to Grady multiple times yesterday and looking forward to getting down to the stadium today. There's always something to play for at the major league level. There is. And, you know, from here on out, we're going to motivate our players the best that we can. They get excited to show up each day, play for each other, play for the Chicago White Sox. That's what we can control today. While, whether it be myself and other leaders in the front office, okay, how do we not only improve the team that we currently have, but also for the future of the organization? We show up every day and we try to do that. And you stack that many days of that many of that type of commitment, eventually, it'll show up at our major league club. In the meantime, we're going to fight and claw towards the end. We'll get into the offseason and try to improve this club the best we can going into 2025.
Last thing, Chris, is tonight Garrett Crochet's last start of the season? And if not, do you plan to shut him down?
This will not be his last start. Garrett's obviously had a tremendous season. One of the bright spots of our club, but also baseball as well. And, we're very mindful of this part of the season as he navigates this late in the year as a major league starter for the first time. There are going to be more starts we look forward to watching him pitch tonight.
Wow. Between the nervous laughter and all of the stammering and, a process we have in place that makes sense to Jerry Reinsdorf. We're applying a process that's worked in other organizations. What process? What process? What is this process? I don't understand. If you're saying that we're applying a process that's worked in other organizations, this organization doesn't want to have the resources that other organizations do. This organization is working with less overall information, proudly, than other organizations do. Process that makes sense to Jerry Reinsdorf. This is Jerry Reinsdorf, whose favorite player is David Eckstein, who wants Eddie Stanky back and keeps talking about Branch Rickey. And you're tailoring a process that makes sense to him? Okay.
Maybe Chris Getz is better at explaining stuff to him than the previous regime was.
To Jerry?
Yeah.
Well, that's how he got his job. I hope he's happy because he talked his way into this job by telling Jerry a bunch of stuff about how fast things were going to happen. And now, when are things going to happen? I don't know. Who knows? I can't talk about any of that. We don't know when anything is going to happen. But you were hired without an interview process. You were hired because you're here and could get going fast.
Boots on the ground. You could do it quickly.
And now you're just saying that we're beginning to start this exhaustive search. It's not an exhaustive search. You've already ruled out a ton of people.
All to hire Skip Schumacher.
Right. Come on. Come on. Well, and I call Tony La Russa, and sometimes I listen and sometimes I don't listen. Why are you calling him at all?
Chris Getz is the final boss.
Why are you calling him at all? Why do you have to call Tony La Russa at all?
Well, Tony calls him.
Now, he didn't say that.
He calls Tony.
He said he calls Tony. I would say...
For advice.
I would say don't. If you're in charge.
Yeah, but he does.
But if you're in charge, don't.
Because he knows.
It's...
He has to.
Right. Because he's not in charge.
Yes, he is. Chris Getz is the final boss.
No, I still don't buy it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I
feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo. The mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2. On Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Chris Getz has been the man in the news in front of a lot of cameras and microphones lately. He was on a phone this morning on with Mully and Haw. The White Sox GM was asked right out of the gate about the timing of firing manager Pedro Grifol.
Changes like this, I mean, you're never certain. There's no perfect time, and I'm, you know, you could argue that it should have been done at this point or this point or this point. We just felt like yesterday was the right time to do this. You know, there are a myriad of factors that go into a decision like this, but. Yesterday was the day. You know, we've got Grady Sizemore that's going to be the interim manager, and we're bringing up, you know, some other support staff and coaches from our minor league system that are familiar with not only myself but the players that we have on this roster. So I feel like we've got a really good team of people to get this season to the finish line in a positive fashion. There's still opportunity for us to make strides, whether it be individually. As a team, as an organization, and I look forward to getting that started today with this fresh group.
Were you waiting for the losing streak to end? Was that a factor?
I think we were all waiting for that to end.
To make
now,
a move.
How related that was to you know, making a managerial change. You know, we it just came to a point where, you know what, you know, the off day that morning, you know, going to call Pedro and others on the staff and, you know, bring in some new voices in which we've done so. But it was a painful streak. Anyone that was in that clubhouse watching it, whether you're a fan, an employee, whomever, it was very, very difficult. Now, does that go into the change ultimately? It's certainly a factor. You know, I look back at where we went into the All-Star break and came out of the All-Star break. you know, in hopes that we were going to be refreshed and you know, play better baseball, get us finish some games where we would be leading games and couldn't get us to the finish line, or you know, looking for opportunities to come back late, and we just never were able to get to that point. So you know, we made the change.
Can you help us, Chris, to understand kind of the hierarchy of the team? What exactly is Tony La Russa's role? How often do you talk to him, and how influential is Tony in your decisions? Is he kind of the de facto Kenny at this point?
No. Tony and I have a very trusting relationship, and very much embodies the advisory title that he has. You know, his experiences are wide ranging in various roles. You know, sometimes I call him and ask him a question, and you know, perhaps I apply it immediately, or perhaps I wait for a different time, or I just throw it away and move on. So, you know, he's a guy that I think is a positive influence, has been, but in regards to a hierarchy, it's you know, at the end of the day, you know, I'm the final authority on these decisions. I take in different opinions along the way because that's the type of leader I am. I know I don't have all the answers. So, you know, you got to filter through some of the information that's coming in. And I lean on people within our front office, Josh Barfield, Jin Wong, Matt Koenig, a long list of individuals that are very bright and experienced, you know, and you know, that helps to the decision-making. But Tony is an ally. He's a friend. But beyond that, of that Tony is making calls is, you know, final say is not accurate. At the end of the day, it's me, and you know, I've got to make the decision on what's the, you know, in the best interest of the Chicago White Sox.
And as you begin this search, I imagine it's going to be exhaustive and all-encompassing, which I found interesting yesterday, that you seem to eliminate candidates who are not in a major league uniform right now. There are guys with experience, notably Joe Girardi, or a guy like there are candidates out there, Terry Francona, who aren't active right now that might be guys you want to talk to. Also, it would seem to eliminate popular candidates like Ozzie Guillen and AJ Pierzynski. Why did you take the step of eliminating the kind of guys who aren't necessarily in a major league uniform right now from being possible candidates for the job?
Well, you know, it's still an evolving list, but there certainly is some truth to the pool of candidates we're going to be targeting, and there's certainly truth to people that we're going to be targeting, people that are in uniform and you know, in organizations other than the White Sox. And I realize that there are a lot of bright people that aren't currently with other organizations or in uniform or that are, you know, managers that perhaps just out of the game for a year or two. And then you've got, you know, the popular names like you listed. But, you know, this is a criteria that we've put together, and we're going to start there. I've got a tremendous amount of respect with the people that you just named. And I mean, I look at Ozzie, I've known Ozzie a long time, and he's I consider him a close friend. He brought me up to the big leagues. He fought for me. And I'll never forget that. And I really enjoyed playing for him. I really care and love the guy. And I know he has been extremely supportive along the way. But I still need to focus on what's best for the White Sox. And you know, as it stands today, we're going to target, you know, a list of people that fit the criteria that I believe are best for the Chicago White Sox moving forward.
Chris, is this your hire? In other words, are you picking the guy, searching for the guy? Is it you and no one else making this decision?
Yes. Yeah, it's my decision. So I look very, I mean, I can't wait to get to down to work today. You know, we're beginning to get organized with these candidates and get that process started. You know, I think it's just a big day, a big portion of this season now is going to be in preparation for this exhaustive search and getting this team to the finish line to find, you know, moments here for our young players to continue to get better and prepare for the following season. So we have a lot on our plate, but I'm really excited to get rolling.
you work in a city and your opponent tonight where the Cubs hired Craig Counsell and paid him more than any other manager in baseball, reportedly $8 million a year. The White Sox reportedly are at the other end of the spectrum. How much are the White Sox willing to spend to get the right manager, or is this organization not at the point yet where they can afford to hire that kind of manager for this kind of team?
Well, obviously the Craig Counsell situation with the Cubs is very much a unique one. Craig's obviously very talented, and I know that they're excited to have him over there. When it comes to the White Sox, it's going to start with what's the best fit for us. We start there, and those conversations evolve into the more of the mechanics of a contract or anything like that. I'm going in with a blank slate, looking for the best candidates, and you try to work out a deal to bring that person into the Chicago White Sox. But to go into detail in terms of contract length or the amount of money that you're going to spend on an annual basis for that, gosh, we I'm just focused on the pool of candidates and you know, getting down to business and finding the right fit for us.
I'm curious, Chris, how do you sell this job to someone? Do you have to? Just because, you know, we're sitting here talking about you rebuilding a team from the studs up. You could argue that you haven't gotten there yet, that the teardown's still on. You got to figure out whether you're going to trade Garrett Crochet. You were shopping him. What do you get in return? Is Luis Robert part of the long-term future? Are you still tearing down here, and how do you sell that to someone?
Well, I the vision that we have here, and this goes back to when I was named in the fall last year and talking to employees that were outside of the organization and recruiting them to come in. And, they needed to understand what the process was going to be and what was, you know, what it eventually was going to look like. They had to have a belief in myself and others that remained in the organization. And we were able to bring in some, you know, Brian Bannister, who's one of the sharper pitching minds in this game. And I brought in Josh Barfield, who was a successful farm director, with the Diamondbacks and others that have come in and help us lead the way. Now, this wasn't about, 2024. It wasn't. It was about building something sustainable for the future. And the process that goes into doing that, you know, it's deep rooted. It really does start from the bottom, and it's going to take time to build up. But there are a lot of competitive, bright people that understand that and have watched and felt, this type of process be applied and worked in other organizations. So when people look back at their careers, they feel proud to be part of something like this. This is not something that was, just handed to me and all of a sudden we were going to make a World Series run. That's not the case, and that rarely is in our game. If anything, you continue to bring in the best talent that you can to help you in the front office. And obviously when it comes to coaches and scouts and analytic minds to help bring this all together. And as we build this and eventually we'll get it to where it needs to be, there'll be nothing more rewarding. So, that's the basis of this. It's going to take time. I'm looking for people that are willing to and eager to take on this challenge. And I am convinced that there are people that are going to want to be a part of this.
It's a massive challenge, Chris, because of the role and the job, but also because right now I think the fan base is as skeptical and as negative as they ever have been because of all the losing. And I wonder, this is your search. It's going to be your hire. But obviously you work for Jerry Reinsdorf. We have a lot of questions about what he thinks about what's going on. We don't hear from Jerry Reinsdorf very often. Can you help us understand or relay, how is he viewing this season? And is he aware of just how bad things have gotten? Because I think that there's a sense that he's not responding to what's going on. And the less we hear from him, the more we wonder.
Well, I mean, the change was made last fall because of the state of things with Chicago White Sox. And, he definitely understands the challenges that we were going to face. He's been very supportive along the way, and he understands the different phases of rebuilds. So, but we also understand the skepticism of our fan base and people that are watching, and they're not, those are not going to quiet until we get more wins in the win column. And I mean, that's just the reality of professional sports. It's certainly the reality of Major League Baseball. With that being said, you know, I look back at how our draft went and bringing in Hagen Smith and our farm system that's rising towards the top, and we'll continue to likely add to that. And then, you know, you look at some of the assets that we have on our Major League club, some of these players and the attractiveness and the, you know, that to perhaps, you know, improve our Major League club through future trades. But there is this a process that we have in place that makes sense to Jerry Reinsdorf, myself in the front office. And there will be a time that we'll feel, you know, the fruits of the labor at the Major League level. We hope it's sooner rather than later, but there will be no shortcuts. But when we get it there, it's going to be very special for a lot of people.
It's great to hear that. I think that the problem that people are stuck on, and you know, I'm not saying that you're doing irrevocable damage to your reputation because you're losing, or anybody, Jerry, whatever, but you're probably going to set a record for the worst season ever. And if you look at what's going on here, over 100 losses now, maybe the worst record ever. Is next year 100 losses, or the year after that? What's your timetable on all that? I mean, I love the idea of building up the team and everybody going to be good and we're all going to enjoy the fruits of that labor for years to come. It's just, I got older family members and friends who feel like they're going to die before it happens.
Well, you know, like I said, this is not something that can be just turned around overnight. Do any of us want to be associated to our current record and potential record by the end of the season? Of course not. We traded Dylan Cease, you know, a week or two before the season started. We made moves at the trade deadline. You know, the focus here has been the long-term health of the organization and not just chasing wins for the 2024 season. Obviously, we want to win as many games as we can. We're all competitors. We feel like, you know, when you create a winning environment, you know, that is healthy for everyone involved. But with that being said, we know where we're at. And, you know, we continue to show up each day and, you know, talking to Grady multiple times yesterday and looking forward to getting down to the stadium today. There's always something to play for at the Major League level. There is. And, you know, from here on out, we're going to motivate our players the best that we can. They get excited to show up each day, play for each other, play for the Chicago White Sox. That's what we can control today. While, you know, whether it be myself and other leaders in the front office, okay, how do we not only improve the team that we currently have, but also for the future of the organization? We show up every day and we try to do that. And you stack that many days of that many of that type of commitment, eventually, you know, it'll show up at our Major League club. In the meantime, we're going to fight and claw towards the end. We'll get into the offseason and try to improve this club the best we can going into 2025.
Last thing, Chris, is tonight Garrett Crochet's last start of the season? And if not, do you plan to shut him down?
This will not be his last start. So, you know, Garrett's obviously had a tremendous season. One of the bright spots of our club, but also baseball as well. And, you know, we're very mindful of this part of the season as he navigates this late in the year as a Major League starter for the first time. But, you know, there are going to be more starts. And, you know, we look forward to watching him pitch tonight.
Wow. I mean, between the nervous laughter and all of the stammering and a process we have in place that makes sense to Jerry Reinsdorf. We're applying a process that's worked in other organizations. What process? What process? What is this process? I don't understand. If you're saying that we're applying a process that's worked in other organizations, this organization doesn't want to have the resources that other organizations do. This organization is working with less overall information, proudly, than other organizations do. Process that makes sense to Jerry Reinsdorf. This is a Jerry Reinsdorf whose favorite player is David Eckstein, who wants Eddie Stanky back and keeps talking about Branch Rickey. And you're tailoring a process that makes sense to him? Okay.
Maybe Chris Getz is better at explaining stuff to him than the previous regime was.
To Jerry?
Yeah.
Well, that's how he got his job. I hope he's happy because he talked his way into this job by telling Jerry a bunch of stuff about how fast things were going to happen. And now, when are things going to happen? I don't know. Who knows? I can't talk about any of that. We don't know when anything is going to happen. But you were hired without an interview process. You were hired because you're here and could get going fast.
Boots on the ground. You could do it quickly.
And now you're just saying we're beginning to start this exhaustive search. It's not an exhaustive search. You've already ruled out a ton of people.
All to hire Skip Schumacher.
Right. Come on. Well, and I call Tony La Russa, and sometimes I listen and sometimes I don't listen. Why are you calling him at all?
Chris Getz is the final boss.
Why are you calling him at all? Why do you have to call Tony La Russa at all?
Well, Tony calls him.
No, he didn't say that.
He calls Tony.
He said he calls Tony. I would say...
For advice.
I would say don't. If you're in charge.
Yeah, but he does.
But if you're in charge, don't.
Because he knows.
It's...
He has to.
Right. Because he's not in charge.
Yes, he is. Chris Getz is the final boss.
No, I still don't buy it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.